welcome
Thank
to
you
What's
guys
Your
so much for having me.
You're welcome. Sorry. I love it. Welcome to What's Your Sign. I'm Julia Loken.
I'm Stevie Goldstein.
I'm Lisa Chanoux.
And today we are joined by a very special guest, model, writer, founder of the Third Cup community, newly released Oracle deck creator, the Realist Oracle, and now fellow podcaster, host of the Eldest Daughter podcast, it's Kendra Austin.
That's right. Thank you guys so much for having me. I am so excited. I have been a long time listener. I think I reached out to each of you also literally probably 2 or 3 years ago to send you underwear.
Yes. You gave from yes. That was the parade underwear, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like, still.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. I used to do astrological consulting for Parade. And I sent them. So we like worked on this whole line of astrology panties. And that's when I first came into contact with your guys' pod. So now it feels like it's really full circle.
Yes.
Now that I've done the full deep dive into my own crystal bitchness.
I love those.
And we're all just meeting in a good place. They're good, huh?
I'm still wearing them.
Like even the colors and everything like worked for my side. Whatever it was good, you know?
Agreed.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So and I feel like it was I had the fire sign pack and there was like a fuchsia almost color. And it's like one that I never pick, but it's one that gets like assigned to me all of the time as a Sag. And I'm like, yeah, it's that is the color.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Sometimes color chooses you. You know? Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I'm like, it's not, but it is. It just keeps coming up, and putting on those underwear helps step into that power.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
I felt. I remember too. At that time, it felt very like, oh, we are Astro Cool Girls now. We got the parade underwear,
right? The parade stamp.
Yes.
Yes.
So right. Like, cool. Because I remember like starting to see some of them pop up, and I was like, wonder when those will land in the old mailbox. And then we've been internet friends. I feel like like a good internet friendship. I feel like I know you. I've been lurking and observing and fanning. So it's so fun to chat for the first time.
Yes,
absolutely. And this is my absolute favorite thing to talk about ever. And now I get to do it in a space where it's welcome. So I really am so grateful to you guys.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Well, speaking of your internet presence, I feel like this will lead into, everything. It's in the chart. It's on the grid. I guess Third Cup would maybe be the container for this too. But I mean, you're creating so many cool community events. You are typically on the East Coast. So we're not able to attend these, but I mean, the community that you're creating and the events that you're putting on and all of this that you're bringing together. I mean, one, just like, we see you. That's fantastic. It looks amazing. And how is that going? How did that start? Let's talk about
it. Yeah. Thank you so much. Third Cup was kind of like my ode. It truly, truly was me following my Aquarian path. I think that's mm-hmm. one thing that's been so gorgeous for me about really being such an astro enthusiast is that I'm really using it as a tool for me to understand what my message is, mm-hmm. In this particular life. And I came to a place where I was like, I was literally seconds away from leaving my Saturn return, which I have a 29 degree Ooh. Saturn and Aquarius.
We saw.
And I said, exactly. And so I said, what is my responsibility to my community? And, you know, I'd always felt naturally quite alienated from the spaces that I really wanted to be a part of because they were kind of always founded on pieces of me. So like when I've ADHD, I've always been a hyper fixation girly. And so I kind of always fell into these like extreme interests. Like it's like I joined a pottery studio or I'm going to take a painting class or like, you know, I'm in fashion, I'm in all these media spaces. And I always kind of felt like on the outside of the cool girl circle. And that was something that I carried with me from my childhood of being just on it straight up a weirdo and in the best way imaginable. And I feel like as like an ode to like kind of sealing up that grief and that feeling of loneliness, I was like, I want to be able to provide people the sense of authentic connection that I had to work really, really hard to find myself. And that's why I feel so celebrated and so loved at this really important time in my life where I feel like I'm coming into my own, I'm coming into my sense of belonging. as, you know, in huge part of like female friendship. And yeah, I wanted to be able to offer that to other women. And a place like New York, obviously there are so many people and so many different kinds of people. And that's why we all gravitate towards New York or to places like New York or LA, is that you're just hoping to kind of win the numbers game. Right. And finding people who are more like you and who have kind of that common understanding about what we're doing here. And at the same time, it feels so lonely when you cannot find them because you know that they're there.
Yeah.
So I felt that if I used intention and specificity to be clear about the necessity to be emotionally available for friendship in the same way that we need to be for romantic partnerships, for a level of commitment and a level of earnestness and vulnerability, that the exact right people would find the space and want to come to our dinner parties, to our meditation classes, to our run club, to our book club. And that is exactly who the fuck shows up. Like, there are hundreds of women that have come to these events at this point, and all of them are so incredibly sweetie pie angel and earnest and motivated to find connection that is deep and strong and long. And I mean, the number of women that have reached out to me since even coming to one of my events to be like, we're in a group chat now and we go on walks together, or we're going to play tennis now, or we're going to get into this hobby. It's like that's everything I could have ever asked for. So it's very much beyond me at this point, which is exactly what I hope for it.
Yes. Well, whoa, that's so beautiful. I mean, everything that you said is really pinging so many things for me, but I think it's really beautiful, the idea of taking that wounding of feeling isolated and using that to be the catalyst for creating that space for other people, because I think that those things stay with us for so long, and they also make it the reason why we don't make these groups. Even though we want to see these groups ourselves, we want to be a part of them, we want to be invited to them, but it does feel like I know something for me personally is always kind of like, you know, I want to be invited to this thing, but I don't necessarily want to be
one of them
who makes it, because I don't know who's going to show up, I don't know who's going to be there, who are these people, and what does that reflect back about us? And I think you clearly are just in such a place, and it sounds like, well, hard fought and well earned and created and cultivated for yourself too, but in that way of like being able to really embrace everyone that shows up for you as like meant for you in a way that's non like, I don't know. That's really cool. And I think thinking of those big cities too, of it being a bunch of people who are looking for community, but also are these individual people working on their own projects, working,
right,
coming from the places that you all come from, feeling that same sense of loneliness and isolation, that it's like, of course we don't, you think it's going to be an automatic thing in a big city. Like, oh, of course there's going to be all these group meetups and people swing a cat and hit somebody that I want to hang
out
with.
You'll find somebody.
Yeah, but it does take a long time. It's so hard because I think are all in that place of being used to being kind of outsiders or lonely or just scared. I mean, you just have a lot of friendship pain. I feel like friendship pain is not a thing that we talk about
it's
enough.
Devastating.
Yes.
It's devastating. It's devastating. And I think in the same way that we don't talk about the grief, I also think that we don't engage enough of an understanding of that friendship connection is all connection has a baseline. Like, there is a baseline that you have to be at in order to find any connection that makes sense for you. And that requires availability. Like, you have to try. And all we ever hear is about how much we need to try to find a partner. But all the qualities that you're looking to tap into to find a partner without any of the trauma is exactly what you need to do to find friends. You have to show up, you have to plan dates, you have to meet them where their joy is, you have to ask them about themselves with really deep and intentional questions, and you have to be willing to share. And those are things that I don't think people think about a lot, because so many of us originally found friends through convenience, right? So like school, like after school
like
activities.
This person's assigned to you, basically.
Yes. Yeah, they're like compulsory environments.
Yeah, or like, I growing up, like so many kids with the same last name would be friends because you literally had lockers next to each other. You were like in alphabetical order. So you just like end up hanging out with all the A last
name kids. And somehow I still thought it was fate. I was like, it makes sense that me and Chelsea Anderson, we should be besties.
Yes.
No, exactly.
Meant to be one true pair in alphabetical order.
I think if there's anyone to talk about friendships, I mean, you really talking about the 29 degree Saturn. I mean, you have a 0 degree Aquarius sun and you have planets in between. So it's really the, like, runs the gamut of the sign. And I'm sure that that becomes difficult when things are transiting there, because it's like gonna hit another thing and then another thing and then another thing. Mm-hmm. And same
pinball machine.
Same. That's like right. When, you know, Venus is retrograde in Leo currently, and you're gonna have oppositions and squares from Taurus and stuff. How do you feel about having all that Aquarius? Does it feel, I mean, obviously it feels natural to me from the outside, but what about on the inside?
Right. I mean, it feels like tension. It feels like I am constantly being electrocuted, honestly. Honestly. Yeah. And I mean that in the way, like, I charge up and I gain a superpower, but I lose a sense of humanness. Like, I feel like every time there is like a huge astrological shift, and obviously right now we're also like, Saturn is the name of the game. Aquarius and Capricorn has been the name of the game for like 8 years, and I am tired. So that is my whole chart. I have one placement that's not that, right? So and then that one placement is squared, like, everything. Yeah. So it does feel so charged. And at the same time, all of my message, all the things that come from those transits are so painstakingly clear. I can't really miss the message. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I always say that to people whenever they see my chart. I'm like, the good news is that I'm one kind of person. The bad news is that I'm one kind of person. Mm-hmm. It's like, my messages are going to come so consistently in the same exact way. And I need to, like, figure it out. But also, it's like, I'm so fixed that I'm really stubborn to that. I'm stubborn to learn the lesson often. But yeah, I think that it feels like electricity. I think having, especially because it is also Aquarius.
I was like, already kind of electrical.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a little screen share just for our folks watching on YouTube. That's right. We're on YouTube. What's Your Sign podcast on YouTube. And I'll go back to full screen, cause I like seeing all our faces together, but just want to give a little there. Yes.
I'm
embarrassed.
Are you?
Don't be embarrassed at all.
No way.
There's so much to be seen in the front, right? But then also talking about the friendship stuff, I mean, Jupiter and Scorpio in this 11th friendship community space, and this like big T square to Venus too. So much of like benefic joy with like these moon feels of Taurus. So like, yeah, I mean, you're definitely fixed as fuck and earthy and earthy as fuck. I mean, maybe the only thing I know we're never really lacking, right, is like maybe fire. Yeah. But do you seek out fire or fire like things in different sorts of ways?
All of my friends are Leos or Cancers. My literally all of them. That's what I'm missing, right? The water and the fire. So I definitely tend to gravitate towards people and environments that really ignite that. I even love being around water. I love like doing things that help me tap into that. I think it brings a lot of clarity for me to kind of help shift a lot of that fixedness. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, you're right. Like, there is something that could kind of be a balm to what I think is the only way. Like, I often feel like there's only one way to be, right? Because that's how I'm experiencing my life, as somebody who's all my placements are in one place.
All in.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it varies. Like, it feels so often like a sink or swim or all or nothing approach that I'm asked to take in my career, in my love life. And I think that, like, especially as I've gotten older, having friends who have different modalities, right? But in general, I tend to also go towards other fixed and cardinal energy. Mm-hmm. But I think that like having people of different elements really, really helps me like kind of soften, and also really like jazzes me up. Like, I need, without any fire around me, I will get very earthy in the like, I'm seeing an obstacle and it's physical. And so there's no way for me to focus on anything else but this physical obstacle, whether it's like money or space. And then I have my Leos and they're like, bitch, do you want it? What's the question here? You know what I'm saying? I would have done it yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I would have done it yesterday. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. So mm-hmm. I think that is very helpful for me.
And also thinking of Leo's with your 0 degree sun too, like in illuminating that sun or illuminating the lunar parts of you, like looking at your chart, having your seventh and eighth houses be Cancer and Leo. Those are also your like pretty committed mm-hmm. people right. too. So I know a fixed, you know, it's all about we're fixed gang here. So a lot of loyalty right. and like, you know, do you fuck with me?
We yeah. should also exactly. do you fuck with me? Yes or no?
Yeah. We should also check say the box. That we're looking at the chart and whole sign, which isn't what we yes. normally do. So just for people who right. have watched,
if they're like,
before,
did you switch?
We yes, didn't. who are looking,
respecting the I see, you use whole sign. We'll throw it up. You know.
Yes.
Right. Honestly, I'm just.
Is that your preference, or do you have a preference?
You know,
do you
what?
Feel comfortable sharing?
I wouldn't say it's a preference, actually. Okay. I'm really, really open. I think that like right now that's like kind of my study. Mm-hmm. And I think the simplicity of like just being able to visualize, and when somebody mm-hmm. asks me, I like know roughly where their stuff is going to be. I appreciate totally. The ease of that approach. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I originally learned from astrologers who obviously were looking at Placidus charts and were able to say like, you know, you have these two different energies in this house. Mm-hmm. And I mm-hmm. often resonate mm-hmm. with that. For example, with my seventh house, mm-hmm. having both Leo and Cancer there makes sense to me. Those are the yeah. people that I gravitate towards the most that kind of have this. And I also quite literally have had one of my longest like romantic trysts has been with Leo with the Cancer moon. Mm-hmm. So
you have a
I said, you know what, it connects.
Well, you have that. Well, you have that exalted also... moon, and I think that while you do have a traditionally like debilitated sun, if we're talking about not right. in actuality, because I don't think anyone would look at your presence and go, that sun is having trouble. You know, I think your sun is shining right. very brightly. But I do think that those like both of those powers. Are strong in your chart and definitely are like both co-present. And so I think that cardinal and fixed energy and those like, I don't know, not they're like you said, it's like one type of person, but it still is even one type of person has like sun and moon. We can't just be like all anything. And so to have those two stronger, I think that like cardinal and fixed not support each other more, but I think that they are the intensity level feels
matched.
Accurate. Yes, exactly. As opposed to as opposed to mutable and cardinal or whatever, you know, mutable is coming in and HRing all of the things,
right.
be whatever it is, right. but it's more like matching the energy as opposed to it being like different, but the same intensity level. So I do think that cardinal yeah. and fixed energies do have a more like, while they aren't necessarily traditionally compatible or in the astrological kind of way, you'd say, I do think that they like can hold their own with each other.
Totally,
and Placidus, they're in the same house too. I mean, mm-hmm. it's all that mm-hmm. stuff's right there in the first, most of it, obviously Saturn, but also the opposing house being half Cancer and half Leo. So it's mm-hmm. like the same thing. Like, it's just an example of how astrology can make the same argument for in
claim
different
several
ways.
Times.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, it also feels, and we can maybe use this as a segue to talk about your podcast too, of like your assigned role versus your comfortable, authentic self role kind of thing. And cardinal being, you know, your podcast eldest daughter talking about these roles that we feel like we need to step into because that is what is assigned to us as our, you know, sibling role or as our parents' first, right. You know, project. Or whatever. So here's mm-hmm. the things that we know we can kind of like live into, but what's actually comfortable for me to me feels very much like that shift from cardinal to fixed.
Right.
You know, being at like I can do whatever, but I prefer right. to do, to me, fixed energy is so much about preference and about
yes.
like this is the kind of energy I like, and I kind of only like to be this one kind of thing.
Right.
Not that fixed people can't change and do the things, but it's like, no, this is the speed that this works at. This is the temperature that this cooks
totally.
At. This is whatever. And, and
right.
kind of learning your temperature coming from that, like Capricorn rising into Aquarius sun.
Yes.
Things.
Yes. I mean, I would even say, I love that. Cause I would even say within within myself, I observe like the dichotomy of like will and direction. So I always say like the fixedness in me is my will, right? It's like,
yeah,
I this is my constitution and I'm going to freak it with this constitution. And then my cardinal signs is like, but where are we going, bitch? You know what I'm saying? Like you can't just like, you're not a tree though, right? Like you have a will, but you also need to be going somewhere. And I think that's kind of where I like to play is like that kind of alchemy between like, you have a divine will, you have things that you really, really enjoy. You also have somewhere that you'd like to go. So what are you willing to sacrifice to make this happen? Mm-hmm. And that is kind of the constant, you know, the constant conversation that I have going on in my mind and spirit. It's like, how can we kind of meet these two minds within us, the will and the direction?
Oh, I love that. Well, it's like, I feel like, you know, with conjunction or like super conjunction stelliums, you know, I think there can be so much relief from people because they're like, I only have to learn a couple signs and it makes astro super easy. But then also the tunnel vision can be quite real. And I mean, you're only
the Achilles.
And you're real only, it's, I think it's kind of beautiful that your only mutable placements are Chiron and the nodes, you know, like there's so much about our path, the history and the future. And then also that key with Chiron and Virgo too in the ninth house, which is really like exploring and expanding in this Virgo way where I think Virgo gets so like, they have to have it this way, but it's mutable earth too. And it can learn to go with that flow. I guess, have you thought much about these kind of mutable bonus feature, you know, not traditional planets, like once you kind of get more astromate, right, with Chiron and the nodes, like it's a fun little portal to get into.
It's actually so interesting that you asked that because right now that is what I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, what does this mean for me? Specifically with my Sagittarius North node being in my 12th house, it's very confusing and mystifying for me. I literally don't know what that means, which I think is hilarious. I think it's hilarious.
That might be its thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's literally the point. I'm like, I don't know what that means. I think that like the nodes themselves have kind of played out really clearly for me in that those are the only spaces where I've ever, that axis, the Gemini Sag axis is the only place where I've ever allowed myself to move quickly. So that's not shocking to me. I have always hated traditional learning environments. I've always been very good at them, which I think is the South Node thing, right? It's like you've mastered that and then you... So it's like, I've always been naturally good at them. I've always hated them because of authority. So there's the Aquarius and the Capricorn also tapping into that. And because I don't believe that anybody can really tell me what I'm good at. And I don't like traditional metric systems. But that only really happened for me when I was able, when I chose to go far. So like for when I was growing up, I grew up in like a military family and then my mom was like a traveling professional. So I never really had a consistent physical space. And then when I graduated high school, I chose to go to the school that was the farthest away. And then when I graduated college, I went to the city that was the farthest away. That made sense for me. And so like, I think that in those small ways, doing the Sag thing where I wanted to learn from kind of the sink or swim of going to a new experience, an entirely different experience to find out on my own what that felt like and kind of put my hand on the stove. That is, I think, the only space that I've really, really been like tapped into when it comes to my mutability. And that felt intrinsic to me once I kind of had what I think is like my early life crisis. And I was like, all of this that I've been doing.
When was that?
What, yeah, I was like, what age would you say?
Well, kids, it would have been 23.
Okay.
No. Oh, okay. That's a, that year well, like, sucks. So that makes
sense. Yeah, exactly. That's a 12th house, right?
Jupiter.
And 12th house perfection year.
Yeah, exactly. That was 12th house perfection. And boy, did I feel it. And I did struggle, you know, that year I struggled with like a lot of like codependency. I had these really explosive homoerotic relationships with my female friends. And I had like,
I was like, you know, at the time, I'm excited.
At the time, I didn't realize I was gay, you know, but it was like, I was having these like very like explosive, like codependent relationships with female friends. I had a very codependent relationship with a partner who was like so lovely, but psychologically very tormented. Mm-hmm. And I was struggling with like a lot of like addictive behavior. Mm-hmm. And those were things that just all like made sense. And it was also just an escape from the fact that I did not know who I was. And I had gone down one route because I said, this is where we're going. There was no direction. There was only will. I was like, there was no will, only direction. I was like, this is where we're going. Mm-hmm. And this is where I was told I'm going to go to be successful and to find belonging and for people to be proud of me. And once I graduated college, I was like, I don't want to do any of this. Like, I literally was like, I'm going to be the first Black female president of the United States. That is what I thought from age 0 to 22. Whoa. And I was planning on going to law school. I studied Middle Eastern studies, government and philosophy in college at the University of Texas.
Libra 10th house. Okay. I mean, it took what happened.
Justice.
Yeah,
that's right. It was always justice for me. That's exactly right. I was like, I just want to affect. I want to affect change in the lives of people. I want to make them feel safer and more comfortable in the world. That was always true for me. And so I think that I just felt I had to go through these like very traditional paths, and I wanted prestige really badly in order to make it happen. And I actually kind of hit like a wall around my, my junior year of college, where I was like, I actually can't, like, I think I also just had an emotional crisis of like, I can't do things I don't want to do. And again, I think that's the mutability tapping in.
Not to.
Well, and very Aquarian.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Like, actually, I fucking hate all this shit. So
yeah,
I will not.
Deviate too far. But did you know at that time that you had ADHD too? Or no?
No. Oh, no. No. Because I think it was rearing its head.
Because I think that is, as a fellow ADHD person, I also think that is like around an age where when you've, especially if you've been able to excel academically and all of those things, you do kind of reach a burnout point or a like the affirmations that you are getting from the institutions and things like that are no longer enough, because you're like, this is so hard to maintain, like to hold this together. Yes. And if all I'm getting is like literally an A on a paper or like a pat on the back or something like that, like that's not enough. I need like way more.
Exactly.
Way more for this to be worth the kind
to
of
be hitting. I need to mainline.
Yes.
Something.
I need like a heroin level of something, exactly. Or else I cannot be backbending like this. And that kind of like, and again, that like affirmation for the parts of you that you know are also like protecting these other real parts of you, not real parts of you, because I don't like using that kind of terminology, because I feel like it deviates yourself within yourself. But like, still that same like, oh, this isn't making me happy, but people are happy about this. Mm. And that how that really can lead you to these other kind of codependent things, or these other things where, oh, someone else who knows me deeply, who loves me, who whatever, like how it bleeds into all of these other aspects of life.
Totally. And like, no matter what, it's like, I was always going to feel really strongly about people. Mm-hmm. So I think that once I like tapped into having these like really strong adult relationships, they were the like norepinephrine, they were that dopamine hit that I was looking for, that I no longer was going to find in these institutions, because I didn't care. Mm-hmm. And as you know, like with the ADHD, it's like, you have to care. That the fixation is the only thing that's going to get you through. And I, like you said, it's just like, it kind of tapped out. And then I just entered the like former gifted child to burnout pipeline.
Yes.
And the self-discovery that happens after that. And like, I mean, thank goddess for it. Truly. Like because I finally also faced other people's disappointment for the first time in my life. I could see in like my mom's eyes for the first time, like confusion and disappointment. She was like, who is this? Like, cause at that point I was fully coasting on that Capricorn rising. That Capricorn rising and Mars holding me down. You know? And I think that like for the first time I was like looking at people's eyes and I could tell that they were confused. Like I went to one of my like oldest childhood friends. She got married very young, like right after college. And at that point I had decided that I was going to move to New York. I was like, I moved to New York. I had been scouted by like a modeling agency on Instagram. And even though we decided to not like move forward, I was like, this is my sign. Like I could feel that gut instinct of like, I have to go. This. Yeah. Exactly. And like, even if it's not, I knew it wasn't specifically that, it was that, and I knew it was that, and like the pipe, my hopeful pipeline to Oprah. I was like, that's the beginning. Yeah. Right. So once that kind of hit me, I was like, I'm going. So I went to this wedding, and she was very, very close with our English. We both were very close to our English teacher, but she had a very close connection as well. And of course, I mean, of course we all did, because again, gay, but so,
so and English teacher was, English yes, teacher, I was like, hell yeah.
Honestly,
for all of us.
Honestly.
Weird, sweetie exactly. Pie, astro loving.
We just needed them and they needed us, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she was there, the teacher was there at the wedding, and I was like her star student. Like, I was her star student by a mile. And so she was really confused when I told her, like, I'm not going to grad school and I'm actually not continuing any sort of career that makes sense to you. And I'm going to New York to model. And she was like, what? She was like, so what are you going to do? Like, how are you going to, like, what are you going to do? How are you going to make money? Like, what do you mean? Like, you're a prolific writer. You do this. Like, how is that going to work? Mm-hmm. And I remember just going home that night and sobbing, because I was like, everybody that I've ever really, really wanted approval from felt like I could tell they were looking at me like I was a 45-year-old woman having a midlife crisis, and I was, but yeah,
you're,
I think
you're
23.
I'm mad at this
exactly.
teacher right now. I'm sorry.
Isn't that crazy?
I've taken on
people
anger.
Project so much, I think, on those in that too, where it's like, this is a failure of my teach. I teach because I want them to do this. I want them to be a reflection of me because they're going to have a good, sustainable career.
Totally.
You going off and doing your own thing doesn't say anything about me. And not that they're consciously doing that, but I mean, we all.
No. And everybody.
Well, that's not
that
the path, right? Your path was. Windy and, different.
I think it also just like scares people, and they want, I mean, in a good way, where they want to know that you are cared for. They see you as someone with potential that can, you know, financially, materially be successful in this way. And it's, you know,
totally
capitalism and all of that too. Right. But I think it, I mean, yeah.
Wait, completely. I'm like, I was making the chaotic choice.
Yeah.
It's making so much more sense too with this Sag North node. And Chiron in the ninth house with Virgo, it's all really about how you're exploring knowledge. And I think too, with Virgo, it's like, well, what's also the most sustainable thing for you to do? And it probably wasn't just to go the path you were assigned, even though Capricorn can run that scam for until they freak out. And like,
until the wheels fall off.
Yeah. Until they like have the office freak out and tell everyone that they hate them. But Aquarius, that's where the Uranus sort of mix comes in as well, where it's like, if it doesn't align, why then, like, we only have one life, unless the reincarnation's there, and then we'll be bugs, but until then we're here now.
Totally.
I don't
and
believe
I feel like
that
I was
go ahead.
No, please continue.
Oh, I just I don't believe that you're ever wrong for following that voice that says it's time to go, it's time to try, it's time to. And I think that's why astrology is so important to me, because it allows for you to say, yeah, I might grow into this thing later. I have potential here. You're able to look at things and say, like, I can try to do that. Or, you know, I don't really use it to be like, this tells me no, you know, but I guess some people do.
Well, even if what you said was like really important too, for maybe people who are 23 right now and going through it, is like, and this happened when, I mean, I moved around like 24, 25, still like post that time pre Saturn return, was like, I just want to be somewhere different. So even if this doesn't work, I'm on a new path and it will unfold.
Totally.
We'll go from there.
Exactly.
The phrase that you use specifically about going like, this is maybe not the thing, but it's part, this is like a step to the thing, to me is very Sag North node in the 12th house, of it going like, you actually don't need to know all of
the whole
details.
Picture.
Yeah.
But following, you have permission to follow that thing that says, hey, do that, like, go with that. The rest of it, you can figure out. You actually don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to have an idea of where you are, like what you are aiming for in this term. And so if you're getting that pull, that's a reason enough to follow. Cause I agree with what you were saying, Lisa, too, of that being like, I think astrology is such a powerful permission slip for people to do things that feel out of character, because now you have an access to the full depth of what is all of the multitudes that you contain. And even if you do have, you know, crazy stelliums that are all in one thing, there are still these outliers in there that go like, hey, that maybe doesn't feel quite like the me that I know, but it doesn't mean it's not.
Yeah, totally.
And I think we all just need like reasons to do things. We're always looking for something to say, purpose, to push us in a direction. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if this is the thing, if looking at this circle with a symbol tells you like, this is okay, that's right, the reason, then go. Mm-hmm. Run.
Completely. Like... You know what's interesting too about you kind of nodding to that 12th house placement with Sag is like, I think that my life became a lot more fulfilling and a lot less stressful when I also realized that was a part of like my mysticism, like a part of kind of my magnetism, was that I actually have never really needed reasons to do things. I was like obsessed with finding them, I think, in virtue of being able to explain to other people.
Yes.
But once I divorced the desire to explain anything to anybody, that became literally obsolete. Mm-hmm. And I realized that like, that's kind of my magic. I think that people are consistently asking me why I'm doing something and very confused about my next move. It's very like everything everywhere all at once, I feel, is what I'm trying to tap into now. Is like, you don't know what's coming next because neither do I. And that's the good news. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm going to like, just simply go towards my joy. I think that I actually even wrote about this today, and I went into the Grove yesterday.
Okay.
And always exactly.
I went to the Grove yesterday.
This is some sad 12th house.
I know. Shit right here. Went to the Grove yesterday. Yes. I went to the Grove yesterday just to feel something.
Yeah.
And
it's a great place to feel a lot of things, I gotta say.
And no, exactly. So I went to go find a pair of designer glasses, but then to my right, I realized it was Barnes and Noble. So I walked inside and I was like, wait, I just published something. Let me go see if it's in here. And it was there, and it was dead ass in the middle of the section. And I watched people literally sell out my deck in real time.
Oh,
whoa. Oh my gosh. And
it was a very powerful moment for me. Anyway, I had a friend with me. She videotaped it. I posted about it today. And in the caption, I was kind of like reflecting on like this project. The Realist Oracle feels really powerful for me because it was the first thing that I did, again, in my Saturn return. Mm-hmm. It was the first project that really came to me with ease, and that literally my editor reached out to me and said, I follow your newsletter, which I also just started because it was fuck it, we ball. And I just wanted to share myself more vulnerably. I had been on Instagram being hot, cute, sexy, fun for like 3 years. And I'd really limited the part of myself that I'd once been congratulated for, which was my intellect. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of wanted to marry the two and start sharing more of my writing and getting more in touch with an audience directly rather than having to go through like contributing or through publications and stuff, which I had done. So I started the newsletter and an editor reached out to me. He's like, hey, like, you know, do you have kind of any projects we thought you might want to do like a self-guided journal? Like that's kind of what you talk about a lot, whatever. And I was like, actually, like, I had spent at that point, the entirety of the pandemic and lockdown collecting divination materials. That was my fixation. I just became obsessed with them. Like I'm like an OG crystal bitch. Like my mom was one, like I've been in this game for a while, but I felt like it didn't really like something just gravitated. I was just gravitating towards decks. Like I just love the art. Yeah. I love the translation from writer to reader. Mm-hmm. Like all of that was really fascinating to me. And so when she reached out, I was like, this is what I want to do. And I knew that it would come as kind of like a surprise. Like, oh, you're doing that? Like, what does that mean to you or why? And like, I was able to bring in a friend of mine that I had for a long time who like I'd wanted to work with for years and just didn't have the budget for her. And I was like, girl, we got a publishing money, which is hilarious thing to say because it doesn't exist. So then... You know, it was
you
like
took the last. You took the last drop of it.
Yeah,
totally. And she had like literally just left her full time. Like that the week that I proposed this project to her, she had just left her full time job, and so it just kind of all came in ease. Yeah, it came in ease. But all of that to say that I felt like this project was such a reminder to me that like I could just like there is no one path. Like I just want to create my own magic and see what I can do with nothing. Like see what I can do with just a little inspiration and just see if it sticks for me.
Well, if it's something you like, that helps.
Yeah, right? That's it. And that's the whole picture, right? I was like, I just like it. Like that is enough of a reason. And like, I've studied it. I have these relationships. I have this community behind me. Like, and I also just know, That's it. Mm-hmm. I know. It felt really good to me. And now I'm starting to understand that is kind of, I think that 12th house component is I'm just doing it.
I love that as also thinking of the 12th house as kind of a subconscious, but also an outside, unknown destination, like things coming from places that we aren't knowing. So one, this project itself being something that came to you from something not outside of yourself, because it was from your newsletter and all these things, but someone else kind of reaching out to you from the beyond, so to speak. But I also like it as the divination tool itself, because I feel like it is very Saggy in its like, it's called the realist, and it is about, it's not to say that Sag isn't like magical too, but it is, there's like funny stuff. Right. There is realistic stuff. It's very, you know, playful and fun, also powerful, but in that Sag kind of 12th house way of like, this is your funny, like giving you a real read Oracle deck. And that feels very 12th Sag to me too, of it being like, who am I calling out to? It's someone that's going to be like, oh, you're crying on the subway.
Like, right. Exactly. It's like, even, again, be fucking for real. I'm like, there's a dating app, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, there's a dating app, my soulmate card. It's like a tall, gorgeous femme with her little stud boyfriend. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, that's funny. Like, I just wanted there to be as much representation of, I was like, we need to get real. Like, this is, people shouldn't have to read into unnecessary language and be so deeply inaccessible.
Symbols, and I think that's very Gemini Sag too, of like symbols that people understand and can see and can immediately resonate with. And I think that is a powerful tool. Of course, when you're like, when I need an answer right away, I think tarot is something that can be something that is, or oracle decks, any kind of thing, is because it is so steeped in imagery that it can feel overwhelming to people if they don't necessarily know, or it's a lot to unpack. It's a lot of layers, and having something so clear, I think is really powerful when you are coming to something where you want to be deeply impacted and affected and be like, who am I working with today? What is the meaning of all of this? I think when that can feel very clear and to the point and fun, like in a way that you go like, oh, this totally. Isn't just, not to say that it's not serious, but you know what I mean?
It's not serious to
also then encourage you to go like, yeah, hey, it's not that serious. Like, we're going to get through this. This is a phase. This is a time period. This is a day. All of these things, I think, are all very of course of your chart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I couldn't have said better myself.
Of finding magic in the mundane, you know, the realist oracle. The mundane feels just so Saturn's presence as well, right? Just like the things we have to do, the things that are just part of living and existing a life, but then also magicifying it, which I think that's the beautiful blend of Cap and Aquarius. But I had a deck question before I did. I want to ask a question just about being an internet person as an Aquarian expert. Because
the most Aquarian thing about me.
Yeah. I'm 11th housey, so I hard relate. And I think a question I get a lot of the time is about, especially because a lot of people who listen probably do have their own spiritual, magical, tarot, astrology, oracle practice, but then that there's such a like taboo of like, do people really want to hear this from me? The oversharing. I'm curious if like anything ever snapped in place for you, or if anyone ever gave you advice, or did like, was there a breakthrough for you of like not giving a fuck in terms of like, of sharing yourself with an audience?
No, I think I have the opposite problem. I think I have the opposite problem, which is understanding what's for me and not for everybody. I think the most Aquarian thing about me is that I've kind of always felt like community. I've always felt like community property. Like even when I was a kid, it was like I would go up to the stinkiest, smelliest, meanest kid in the class simply because I hated the fact that he didn't have friends. Like, aww. And even though it came at the expense of me and not being able to hang out with my friends, I was like, this has to happen for us, because the vibe is off if somebody here feels bad, and that's not rocking with me. So I think that, like, even just down to that level, that was always really important to me. And because of that, then when I experience a certain level of like emotional or intellectual alienation in like my teenage years, I ran to Tumblr. I dashed to Tumblr, as all the hot girls too. And that, and that is where I really tapped into my oversharing, you know, gift. Except of course I did it behind like a veneer. Like Tumblr had that way for a while. I did run an anonymous account as well. So it was like Tumblr had that way of being able to provide a mask for you. And it was all very like chic and aesthetic and like intentionally dark. And I don't think it was really until like I had that kind of early life crisis and realized that I was getting the dopamine hit off of sharing myself as honestly as possible. Actually, nothing felt good to me except for being as honest and raw as possible to my knowledge at that time, that's just where I was supposed to be. Like nothing ever felt as important as talking about myself.
Do you still, still feel like you'd go up to, now that the world is scary and we've had pandemic, do you still feel like you'd go up to the stinky?
Yeah. I still do. All of my romantic partners, basically. Honestly. Aww,
stinky.
But
I love that.
Stinky, if not physically, energetically. You know what I mean? Yeah. these days we're definitely, I mean, I'm going to give myself a nod to my work. I've got some really nice people in my life. Actually, I only have nice people in my life, but that did come from kind of undoing that thing of being like, I have to sacrifice myself, my own comfort for like the greater collective. It's like, I don't like the idea that we live in a world that this person's just being rejected for no apparent reason. Like there has to be, you know what I'm saying? We have to rectify the situation. I think that came from, again, my own like Aquarian alienation, my fear if that people knew my weirdness in the same way that they could see that person's, that I would suffer the same fate, I think. So that's always felt really necessary for me.
So but, when are you launching your presidential campaign?
I know.
Give me a couple years, girls. Maybe the next. Am I even qualified?
I know. It's like when you're of age.
Yeah, you have to be old enough. Okay. Like 2020. Oh no, you'll still. Okay. Yeah. So
we got time.
Keep eyes out for that launch. That will be the real plot twist. You know, you said you'd get into projects that are a little unexpected.
Totally. I don't think, you know, honestly, I don't think that's a plot twist for anybody ever that's ever met me. I think they would say that sounds right. I always say, like, and this also might make sense for my entire birth chart, but I've always said, like, I think that goddess, the spirit gave me a really, really good heart because they knew that I would become a vicious cult leader if it were not for that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There is like this part of me that I'm like, it could have happened. I was born to do it.
The level of Aquarian, you know, concentration there, I think you're right. I do think you're right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's that in tandem with like this like insatiable desire to like be a part of the mystic and like to understand it. And I also, belonging is like a part of everything that I create. Like, that's why I created the deck. My newsletter that I got my deal from is called Come Home. I have Come Home tatted on my body. Like, I'm writing a book. That is based on the concept of belonging. Like, these are all things that are really important to me. And that's what I seek to make people feel. I think in a different time, different space, if I had the heart to rob people of that for my own self-interest, sure, it could happen.
Watch this space, you know.
We'll
join the Come Home, you know, eco village in Costa Rica once it launches.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Honestly, and even then I would attempt it and it would just be utopia, girls. I'll be honest. That's all I got in me.
My deck question was, I'm just curious which card from your deck you either pulled today or are really vibing with, or like, is there a deck or a card from your deck right now that's like near and dear to your heart?
Oh my gosh. I wish I had one while I'm traveling right now, but yes, there are a few of them that I really, really love. My first one, my favorite card, and it was the card that I knew, that was probably the first card that I knew I was going to design. It's the Choose Love card, and it's inspired. It is inspired by the Lovers. It holds the same number as the Lovers and the Major Arcana. And it's like a woman, it's a micro shot of a woman holding her phone and looking on a dating app. And she's seeing a woman who like is wearing clothes that have similar like colorful themes as her nails. Like you can see distinctly that her nails have like a very specific design on them. Anyway, created that card to express that her finger is kind of in the middle of the right or the left. And I was using that as a modern expression of like, it's not, the decision itself is not what's important. It's about what you think is reflective of the choice that you're making within yourself and who, what part of you that you're choosing right now and making it the most loving and authentic and mirror decision that you can of who you want to become and what you feel is most important to you. And like kind of being in that liminal space between right and left is what's really making that moment. It's not about the right or the left. It's that you're trying to look in the image of the people and the spaces around you and understand why you're making those choices. And obviously in context of today, like that could be a card that very literally is like, you know, I'm vibing with somebody I'm dating right now. And it just makes sense, right? It could be as literal as sometimes the Lovers is. But if we dive a little bit deeper into it, you know, that was kind of my intention behind the card. And I love the fact that it's like, so it looks so technical and obvious, but it, even in my description of the card, I kind of dive into that. And I think that's something that is, it kind of plays out throughout the entire deck, is this like, it's very tender and very cutesy, and like right off the bat you're like, oh, like her nails, like that's a sleigh, and the girl and the thing, that's a sleigh, and it makes sense that she wants to be with her. But if you dive a little bit deeper, you're like, oh, okay, I see that like actually she hasn't made a decision, she's halting the decision. Why is she on dating apps? Like, what is she looking for? Does, maybe she doesn't even really want a partner right now, maybe she just wants to, you know, sleep with somebody, or maybe she's looking for a friend. So kind of all of those things are what comes up under the Choose Love card, and I really like that.
I love that. I think it's so indicative too of how we make our choices, especially because in a relationship, in a relationship sense, I mean, I think on a dating app, the instinct, and maybe this is like my stuff showing, but it's like you're imagining a life with that person, and it like it can be a real fast no, it can be a real like, oh yes, but it is kind of your, it is reflecting you, you know, because you're like, of course you're making an assumption about who the person is or whatever, but it's like, that's why people put a big fish or hiking pictures, because it's like, they want you to imagine yourself doing active things with them and doing, going on traveling and doing, instead of just like selfies, what's like, what can we imagine that we do at home when that's all we have or whatever.
Here's my big fish.
Exactly, I love that.
I like thinking about also both of those things being both the person in the picture and the person doing the picking of like, I feel like getting your nails done is a choosing love for yourself and choosing something, choosing to express something that you like about yourself or a color that you like or whatever. And then also seeing that, like you said, reflected back in someone else of being like, maybe they're not going to swipe on that person. Maybe they decide it's not, but it is still seeing love, seeing things about you that you love in in the world and as an option, I think is always like a, I mean, the card Choose Love, it's that where it's like the, you know, the whether it's caring exactly for yourself or seeing something, deciding to see yourself in another, to go like, maybe I'm not going to swipe on them, but I still see that people are, have potential, and I am somewhere to be found somewhere.
Wherever the opportunity for love is, that's what you're looking toward. That's exactly it. And my inspiration for that was like, I really had a super tumultuous relationship with literally anybody I've ever tried to find romantic partnership with up until like 2020 when I got out of my last relationship. And then I mean, I was in my like celibacy era, you know what I'm saying? And was like really trying to dip into myself, trying to figure out where the self-defeating, self-sabotaging patterns were. And when I kind of like started to like kind of tiptoe back into the scene. Like, I realized, for example, the Leo with the Cancer moon that I referenced earlier, like, he's somebody that's always had a really, I've always had a really loving connection with. And mm-hmm. he, like, kind of resurfaced right mm-hmm. as I decided to exit my celibacy phase. And then I was, like, getting asked out left, right, and center by, like, all these, like, really incredible options, right? And I was, like, this is, like, I've never felt this way. Like, I felt such defeat prior to this time in my life, where I was like, what is, clearly there's something, you know, that shame inside me, brokenness inside me, that I felt like I was always looking to be affirmed in having partners that were unavailable to me. It was like, maybe there's something about me that, like, I've never even saw anybody even close to the kind of the level of potential that I'm looking for in a partner. Like, how is that possible? And that mm-hmm. was immediately kind of like just obliterated through this experience after I had done the work, which is how it always happens. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, I was like realizing that all of these people were a reflection of who I decided that I like recently kind of come into these like desires of mine. One mm-hmm. was to like really kind of break from the monotony and from the feeling of like delayed gratification. And the idea that I had to work really hard in order to have a life of leisure and a life of enjoyment, and instead actually just go on trips and start traveling more and start saying yes to like mm-hmm. romantic opportunities that I might not before, and be less concerned with like, is this the finality of my life? Mm-hmm. And all of these people were kind of reflective of parts of that journey. So like this guy, he kind of resurfaced, and I realized like what I've liked about, like, as much as I enjoy you, what I've liked about you this whole time is that you are a like entirely self-determined creative. He's a digital nomad. He has communities from all over the world that he like loves and pours into, makes time for. They meet in countries and they hang out. Like, I was like, and he feels a sense of freedom, even though he has so much obligation. Like mm-hmm. this man mm-hmm. has so much obligation and has built a million businesses and like is so successful, but he feels light and free and is always choosing that. And I was like, that is what I'm trying to be. And that's why I've been attracted to you. As much as I enjoy you, there are like all these other things that don't really make sense for us in partnership way. But what I'm choosing about you is something that I contain right now, and that I'm looking to unlock, find the courage to unlock. So yeah, it was like, I was kind of in that phase and the card just made sense. Yeah.
I love back to your Cancer 7th house, Leo 8th house, because, you know, 7th house, we do typically see that for like, it can be marriage, partnerships, what people like were very partnered in, you know, in the depths with, and then the 8th house doubling down on that, right? Like where we're sharing resources, we're building a life, we're building a world, family, death, taxes, whatnot. But it's just so cool to think of that as the moon and sun too, because it just sounds like it's reflecting you. Right. Mm-hmm. And like this, like role model almost sort of thing of like, sure, I'm sure you could take care of a lot of people if you already are, you know, doing that with your friendships and community, and you know, you have the Saturn shit to back it up too, right? Like these projects and you know, building something, seeing the potential, and you know, and then like I'll come back to the Jupiter Scorpio too, because it's like, you know, it can play the long game and find the ways to make it work. But I just think it's so beautiful of it, like reflecting your Taurus moon in this 5th house of pleasure and just romance and fun and like enjoy, let's enjoy each other. And then of course, Leo with the sun of just Aquarian, like be like a power couple sort of thing. If right. you're thinking of like a one-to-one relationship. So right. I think looking totally. At our 7th and 8th house too, and like what planets are there, it's like, I'm just hearing so much reflection, and that's truly what the luminaries do for us so much, is like reflect and shine all the light on like the things that we care about.
Right.
Just bullshit. They're shining. Real, you know.
Everything is illuminated all the time. Everything is illuminated all the time.
Yeah.
Just that reminder of like, it's, I don't want to say it's all about you in the sense that it's not also about community and caring for other people, but it is that thing that I think people forget so much in their isolation, in their loneliness, in their feeling of not belonging, that like it, finding yourself in as many people as possible or in that thing too, is what kind of continues to generate us in relationship with each other and why we need each other, because it's not just about hearing the details of someone else's life. It's also about finding qualities in yourself and expanding all of that, sharing those things, having those things brought out of you. And I think that's like the point of relationships, or the why we need each other, is because not only do we need to like support each other because we go through difficult times, we also get to find ourselves and grow and learn and be like, we're all one.
You know, we're totally. And that's your source to pour from, right? It's like the more that you understand of yourself and choose things that are reflectors, they're also multipliers. Mm-hmm. I always say that. I think that like spaces that reflect also multiply. Yeah. And that just gives you that much more to pour from in the places that you find most belonging.
Well, and I feel like this is definitely from, you know, stuff that you post on the internet, but it is also that finding affirmation in each other instead of isolation, or instead of comparisons, instead of these things, having everything be, this is a reflection of, again, not like about me, like I did this on my own, but it is like all of these wonderful people that are around me is also because of me. Like, this is me. I call this in. I deserve this. This is because I have qualities that people want to be around too. And I think that that is so hard for people to claim a lot of the time, because we do live in such a culture of comparison and competition, and it feels also just vulnerable and scary to give people that kind of power. You know, I have my Scorpio stellium is talking right now, to give people that power over you or with you or whatever, wherever it is, to kind of relinquish that, to let people be able to come in and hurt you or have an opinion about how you see yourself. But I think when we are coming from a place of like, this is all for me, this is all like of me, and to be able to take like celebrate in that and to be like, this is stuff that I am entitled to feel abundant because of, I think puts us in a place to be in more, to choose love, to be in community, and to feel open to each other in a different way.
Yeah, I could not agree more. That's so beautiful.
I love
This is from you.
Thank you so much. And again, as we say, it's all reflection. All reflection. That's exactly right. And I think, you know, to kind of go back to what Stevie asked earlier, I think that that is above all else why I did gravitate towards both like a mode and a tool to connection, and also a career on the internet. Mm-hmm. Is that it felt as much opportunity as possible to engage with information and thinkers and thought patterns and belief systems and ways of being that allowed space for that. And like, I think in particular also allowed that the opportunity for expansion. And I think at times in my life when it was a bit more limited. So like when I was younger, I got into Tumblr because I was like in a predominantly white neighborhood in the suburbs, and like nobody looks like me. It didn't feel like anybody had the complicated feelings that I had that come with the identities that I had of like, I grew up like relatively non-religious, I'm biracial, I was in a military family, I never really like was in a place for too long. So I always felt this like, I'm looking for people who are like me. And then, you know, when I was in college, I was in the South for the first time really. And I was really faced again with a lot of these identities and feeling other. And that's when I again gravitated towards the internet the most. And that really kind of clicked for me when I had little else, when I was in that very like codependent, addictive phase in my life, when I felt like I couldn't see myself. I was like, if I kind of just affirm and echo the like very, very small, soft, still distinguished voice that is there telling me that there is something I know of, then it will become louder. And I like, actually looking back, I really can't believe that I followed that. It like, even right now I'm trying to like hear that voice and it feels like a whisper, but right now it's like the loudest thing that I can hear in my life is like my own internal compass. But at the time it was just like this little voice that was like, you have a story. Like, even though it's painful or it feels challenged or like you feel like nobody gets it, like you have a story and everybody gets it. A lot of people get it because that is what you're here for, is to remind people that their story is significant. Mm-hmm. And like, you have to do it by example.
If you thought you were playing a numbers game, New York and LA, I mean, the internet's, you know, triple millioning down on that. And it's twice as hard because it's everything and everyone, and the negative parts of people too, and the hateful. I mean, we
big
all
yuck.
we've all had comments on our posts, I'm sure.
Right.
We all know right. what it feels like. But yeah, then right. there are the other comments too that are like, I relate to this so much, like this, I found you through this right. and whatever. And so it is right. that numbers game.
Actually, I'm kind of curious about your guys' experience because I have found that being a weird bitch online, being a weird bitch online, meaning being somebody with like kind of weird and esoteric and like deep interests, mm-hmm. I feel has both definitely drawn in. Obviously, you're going to get hate. You're going to be people who are like, none of this is real, dumb, right. whatever. But I have found it's also kind of isolated me to a place on the internet where like people kind of have to find me. Like the only way that you found mm. me is if you kind of trickled in through other weird bitches and we're yeah. all just here now.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if you guys have kind of had that same experience being obviously it's like you guys have a niche and it's so specific. Mm-hmm. And it's also yeah. booming right now at the same time. So
yeah.
I think astrology and woo can be very insular. I don't think because the thing I hear, and maybe it's from like being married to a man and also having friends who it's kind of rare in LA to have friends that don't like astrology, but I think there's this right. like, well, I don't speak this. I don't understand this. And so there's like, I'm not here to participate. And then the areas where people participate are memes. They're usually the very stereotypical, you know,
like sometimes
I'm not an Aries that likes to go boxing. What's this with me? So I think right. it is very like, it's right. only, I think only when there's like a really like runaway meme is when you get the randoms coming. That's like, this is dumb and sucks. But it's also like, well, that's just when anything is popular on the internet. Like,
right.
it's
it doesn't matter
insane
who you are.
If all the comments were pro, but I do think I think we're still, despite popularity, yeah. still so.
For the most part.
Bubble.
Yeah.
I post like my stand-up clips and I find that that's an area where I just, as a female comedian, just expect everyone to hate me. And yeah. so it is like, it is a niche, but it is like, yeah. I just don't even like, I don't even read it half the time. Cause I'm like,
no.
oh, I'm sure yeah. half of them are just saying women aren't funny and like whatever else, you know?
Totally. Well, I mean, that is niche, but it's also just so not because everybody, well, first of all, comedy is like one of the oldest crafts and also like people really want the level of courage that you have to get up on mm-hmm. stage and say, I think I'm funny and now I'm going to prove mm-hmm. it to you. And anything that requires courage, people are going to be absolute dicks about because that's the greatest yeah. challenge to them.
I find that it's the same in astrology too, though. It's like, I'm willing to say that I investigate myself and I'm yes. willing, like that is bravery. It is to say, mm-hmm. I believe in stuff that I can't see and like all that kind of mm-hmm. shit. And it's like, that is the same bravery. And so it is the same kind of like reactions exercise. That you get or people looking for it or, you know, cause I mean, clearly, you know, you can tell from, I'm sure any of our DMs, it's like people are also looking for, you know, women to do these things and like creeps right. are also looking, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, it's like, totally. People do like Google this stuff. They look for it. They search for it, but it's also like, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. It feels somehow less, I guess, like personal than the stand-up stuff, because I feel like in stand-up, it is more like, I don't know, people are angrier you're there. And it's, I feel like in the astrology space, they already are like, well, that's dumb right. women stuff anyways.
Like so
they're already disappointed. Yeah. They it, start yeah. disappointed.
Yes.
Yeah. All they can, with astrology, they're already say, like skeptical.
All they can say is astrology is dumb. Like that kind of thing. Like it just.
Yeah, you're right. Like stand up there like you specifically yes, suck.
It's you. It's right. you specifically. Right. Women in like you are representative completely. Of women in general. How dare you right. come into this?
And it's like never come back here. It's like, yeah. okay, yeah, yeah, well, yeah. Listen, I missed it once. Give me a yeah. fucking break.
But astrology is more like stay in your weird corner because you guys are crazy like that. And it's like, okay, yeah. fine, leave
well,
us,
you know what?
Leave us alone.
You know what the worst was, or like the worst, I think, behavior on display was when we weren't in this article, but like friends were when the imposters were first starting to pop off mm-hmm. on Instagram of like people pretending to be mystical people and scam people on money. They're still out there. No one will ever DM you hello yeah. beloved just right. a reminder, but I just remember that LA Times article was like, well, they're grifters, so fuck them. Yeah. And I was right. very I was like, oh right, like people think we're snake oil salesmen.
Yeah.
Right.
There are. But that's like, you could say that about any.
Literally anything. That's exactly mm-hmm. right. Like, you could look on a mommy Facebook group for electricians.
Dangerous. Yeah.
And you're going exactly for the local electrician. And you will find somebody who is scamming. That is just true totally. For anything where you can make money. I think people feel the worst about it because it's something that's also like connected to religion and also right. challenging like, institutionalized religion.
Mm-hmm. I mean, male comedians yeah. are male comedians are only scamming people.
That's their whole yeah. thing.
Well, because everything about a male comedian's human experience, he got from a girlfriend that he dated and mistreated and took her funny and used it on stage.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So that's exactly mm-hmm. right. And that, I guess that's not even true for male. That's just true for men. Yeah. That's not even male comedians. That's just men.
Men who are goofy. In general.
Male comedians yep. are just loud
damn,
about
yep.
it.
Kendrick, you need a, yes. you're going to hit a mic while you're out here in LA. I know. I was like, that was some material right there.
Thank you so much. I might brush up on it.
Hey.
Yeah.
We'll tell you the good ones.
Thank you so much.
Do we play a game?
I know. I was like, do we have
yeah,
our...
Yeah, we could... We'll yeah. just have to come back, of course.
Yes, like, absolutely. Well,
but of course, before we wrap up, we... like to play a little game with our guests called Marry, Fuck, Kill. Are you familiar with this game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love this great. Game.
All perfect. Right.
So we're going to play two rounds. These are celebrities with your big three. So they share your astrological placements. Mm-hmm.
There's two of them and they're all weird. I'm already scared. I think I've looked this up before.
It's a unique list. Let's just say that.
I'm pretty sure Jeffrey Epstein shares mine.
Oh, we don't. Wait. We weren't going to.
Yeah, I was like, we already
good.
Yeah, guys, I was like, don't worry, we don't want to
put
you
in here.
Yeah, I'm like, we don't want to put anyone in these kind of situations.
Yeah,
even in the theoretical, and we would never send our friends to the island.
Stevie, you look so concerned, babe.
He's an Aries moon, confirmed. I was just like, what
that tracks.
Like,
okay.
And he's like a zero yeah. zero zero quirk. Okay. Anyways, we won't. Okay. No, that sometimes we no. We usually try to only play with non-canceled people, but sometimes we find right. out later. So just a full disclosure, like the intention was not to play.
No,
with
totally.
Canceled. This is totally. Happening as of August 8th. These people are not canceled.
Are not canceled.
We have yet to find out their true. Yeah. Let to find out the true yeah. horrors of who they are.
The Lionsgate portal has not sucked them up. Revealed them yet. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. We'll find out.
So we're going to start first round. This round's for the ladies. So it's hard to also too with, we don't always have every celebrity's birth time. So risings can be a little harder to find, but you did have one big three twin, which doesn't happen all the time for our guests, which is, do you know who your big three twin is?
No.
Sun, Moon, Rising. Mariska Hargitay.
Good one.
Yeah. Oh,
God.
That's a really good one.
Wow.
I'm going to be honest. That's not even a question for me. It's Mary, because she's been one of my longest running relationships.
Really?
I'm so serious. I have loved her since, like, literally SVU is the reason I decided that I wanted to be a lawyer. I have been watching her probably longest of anybody in my life. So that makes sense for me. I'm a Mary on that.
Oh my God. Oh my love God. It. Okay. All right. I love knowing their options
strong.
Have even been.
Yeah. Doesn't need
I mean, a period. I've already decided. I told you guys I make decisions.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
That's true.
We're going to have to link
it in. We'll continue.
Kendra up with the SVU podcast now.
Oh yeah.
Yes. With that's yeah. messed up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk. Mm-hmm. This round, as I said, is for the ladies. So we're playing with Mariska Hargitay. The other two are Aquarius suns, Taurus moons. We have Kelly Rowland and Sheryl Crow.
Wow.
Well, okay. Kelly Rowland literally is the most beautiful person I've ever seen in person. Like, I feel like people have become
where
desensitized.
Do you spot her?
It's some industry stuff.
Okay.
But she is, I think that people don't realize how unreal she actually looks, but she
really?
Has the most glossy, perfect skin I have ever seen. She looks like an alien in real life, honestly.
Okay.
Honestly. Okay. Like, you're like, wow, I can't believe you're real. Like, huge eyes. Like, she's gorgeous.
Oh.
I'm going to do, no, actually, this is relatively easy for me. I'm going to marry Mariska. I'm going to fuck mm-hmm. Kelly, and I'm going to kill Sheryl. And there's no question mm-hmm. about that for me.
Hey.
Okay. Someone's got to go. So,
yeah.
It's how the movie crumbles.
Someone's got to go.
Someone's got to
exactly.
go.
Exactly. Oh, but yeah, wow. I'm really happy. I had no idea that Kelly and I were linked like that. What's her rising?
I'll report back in just one moment.
See if we find it.
Yeah, I think it might be up there. I think she was. You guys go ahead and I'll come back.
I feel like this is such a hard one because
this is a good group. It doesn't always happen like this.
There's no chance that I kill Kelly Rowland. That's like the thing for me because I'm like, I want to be like either marry or fuck into a Destiny's Child person. Yeah. Like that for me is like, okay. But now I'm torn between Mariska
and
Cheryl.
She's Sag-rising, just so you guys know. So that sweetens the deal, of course.
Yeah, her butt.
That makes sense because her butt's amazing.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know what? I think this is the thing for me is that I, you know, again, I've got the cat placements. With the Mary, I'm like, who am I going the long way with?
Mm-hmm.
Mariska has just really proven her staying power. In a way,
you were loyal before anyone else came into the fold. Yeah.
I also feel like you might just have the right answer because I'm like, she does does such good work too, Mariska. Like
she's a great person.
Yeah, she like does a lot of stuff for actual victims and everything. And it's like,
totally.
I don't know. I think I'm going the same answer as you.
Yeah. Like she's so Aquarius with it. She was like, I've portrayed something and now I have to make it right in my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard for me to kill Cheryl, but I'm like, I think it's the right choice. I don't know.
I just don't. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I don't know what to do with Cheryl because
she can plank for like 550 minutes.
Well,
she
then I have to kill her.
In that case, like, actually, she's gone.
She wouldn't have said that.
She wouldn't have brought the planking into it. Because I do love her. I do have a connection to the music and I know that she has also helped you know produce other women's music and things too, which is like not a thing that a lot of people do.
True. You want to soak up the sun is what you're saying.
I do want to soak up the sun. All I want to do is have some fun.
She's a Taurus rising too, just to
she is like my husband.
That's her earthiness.
Yeah, but I also know I do think in my heart that like I do think that you hit the right answer. Because I think the part of me that like is drawn to Cheryl is the part of me that's drawn to like every Aquarius that's like ruined me where I'm like she's the unattainable.
She's
unavailable. And like, she's not going to give me what I want and it's going to drive me mad. And so I think the only way she's got to go. Sorry.
Okay. Cheryl Crow has 600 unread text messages.
Oh yeah. I mean, truly.
I can feel it. Mm-hmm. And part of that's because of her age, but also it's because.
Yeah. I have to quickly screen share this. I don't know how I got here. Just looking up Kelly Rowland's natal chart, but I mean, her response to a fan. She's since deleted, but Kelly Rowland, come on my face, like my whole face, catch it. I love it.
Yes, Calandria. So, exactly.
That's
all right. Like,
she's an icon.
Marry Mariska, fuck Kelly,
fuck Kelly, kill Cheryl.
Consensus. Wow. Sometimes this happens.
Sometimes there is a right answer.
Yeah. And that's it.
I feel like this is.
And again, Cheryl's done great work and we'll all be, you know.
It was hard.
I hope
see
you're
you
planking in your grave. You know what I mean?
She's planking for all eternity.
Yeah.
the long plank.
Some other Aquarius Sun Taurus moons are Christian Bale, J. Cole, Matt Dillon, Gina Davis, Jackson Pollock, Jim Jarmusch, and Olivia Colman. Cool.
Gina Davis.
Hot,
I don't know why I'm so excited to hear about Gina Davis, but
I should have thrown her in this girly mix, but I was like, this, it's already complicated enough with these three. Like, Gina's just gonna throw a fucking wrench if she's in here. Like,
totally.
6 foot tall. Yeah.
Devastating.
Cradle me. Talk about the president, our president.
Yeah, I was like, Madam President. Mm-hmm.
I've literally, and also like literally we've never seen bone structure like that before. And also she invented baseball.
Or since maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Or since, and she invented baseball. And then thereby inventing feminism. So there's a lot of things that I feel good about with Gina.
Okay.
I just love her so much.
Esteemed company.
Well, okay. And also, I'm sorry. I know this was a round for the ladies, but Matt Dillon also, I think, like
huge,
a perfect face possibly. So a lot of good, sure, a lot of good work, yeah, happening over here.
Oh, yeah.
So Aquarius on Capricorn, this is a random round. We have, I don't think we played with any of these people before, so this is exciting. We're going to go with Lauren Conrad, Elijah Wood, and Billie Joe Armstrong from Green Day.
Oh my God, this, wow, is hard in a different way.
Hard. Wait, no, this is crazy.
So no, these are Aquarius on Capricorn risings.
All these people would have been relevant to me at the same time.
There's a the Aquarius, mm-hmm, is doing the like conspiracy theory, mm-hmm, connecting, yeah, the dots. You don't say.
Yeah.
I'm hearing, yeah, cue the American Idiot right now, that opening guitar riff.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're in a flashback.
Mm-hmm. No, this is, gals, this is tough.
It's a hard, this is maybe one of the hardest ones, because like, well, okay, everyone's bringing something very unique to the table.
I mean, I have
big
to say,
elfin energy. You just have, mm-hmm, to,
mm-hmm, right, exactly. Like,
a lot of, there's an elf vibe.
Totally. No, I have to say, for me, I think it's going to be Mary Elijah Wood.
Mm. Hmm.
Marry Elijah Wood, fuck Green Day, and kill Lauren Conrad. Unfortunately, Lauren Conrad has to go because she is a Republican and has been 10 toes down in that for
really.
I was planning to kill her
regardless, because there can only be one Elsie.
Yeah, let's go.
We're talking about old Chanu over here, baby.
But now that I know that, I'm like, let's take her down.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah, she just actually is notoriously so conservative for no reason.
That's the reason. The real reason she didn't go to Paris.
That's right. Yeah. That's,
she's like,
right,
so dirty.
That's strike two.
Imagine Lauren, actually the alt universe where Lauren goes to Paris and actually like, right, changes
and wasn't a mind. Trump supporter. Yes. No, I think so, because the thing is, that was the day that she decided to be a pick me. And once you decide to be a pick me, mm-hmm, you care about men for forever. Mm-hmm. You're in the male gaze for forever. So I think that's when we lost her, girls. But
I'm like reading these insane roundups of like articles from 2008 about Lauren and Heidi supporting John McCain, and it's just like, oh my God, of, yeah, course. But also, wow, of course.
Wow. And also course. a flashback to McCain girlies.
I know. Like
a hilarious. Okay.
Vintage. Wait, but then that's vintage. Also reminding me of Spencer Pratt, who is a perfect person. He is literally so god awful. But then also recently, you guys, he has started a business called Pratt Daddy. I'm sure it's quite, yes, popular here in LA. It's an important space. I'm watching that space.
The content is absolutely watchable. And like, wow, the hummingbirds, he is tapped into something. Okay. I don't know. To me, I feel like I've been seeing a lot of this coming up in our witchy woo space of reminding people, right, that like, everyone can tap into magic.
Anybody can.
Into everything. Like, this is not.
You don't have to be good.
Yeah, this is not exclusive to good people, and we need to get that out of our mind, because I feel like we give a lot of grace and we go like, oh, if you're in,
right,
no one else has, right, access to this.
And back it's like, to the grifters.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
there.
Anybody can step into the stream and be tapped in, and he is tapped in. So I mean, there is something.
100%.
There is something.
Dude, Lauren,
his morality is
that
zero.
We brought up Spencer in her in her round.
Hope she listens,
like,
to this.
She
does
fucking lose it. Also, I mean, Spencer and Heidi were, this is maybe a little LA local politics, they were very much pushing for Sheriff Villanueva, who's they're Republicans.
They
live in Santa 100. Barbara. They're Republicans. Honestly, would be. Should we have Spencer on? I'm sorry, like,
yeah,
my brain's going places.
No, to have Spencer Pratt on the show, you guys, that would be so incredible. And I also think that he would
FaceTime him on Instagram. Like, we could probably message him like right now, and he'd probably have
We should. He would love this. First of all, he's, yeah, a Leo. And the, yeah, fact that you guys would just be asking him, you know what I'm saying? It's all about him. You know things about him. He would love it.
Yeah. Also relevant to the Lauren Conrad situation, Capricorn rising, Spencer Pratt over here, Scorpio moon. Yeah. Oh, wow. So they were always, now I need Heidi, which I know she's a Virgo.
They were always going to,
it was never going to work.
Yeah. They were always going to be odds. In conflict. Okay.
Enemies.
I'm also going to kill. I think once again, there might be a right answer here as well.
I think I'm going the other way. I think I'm marrying Billy.
You're marrying Billy Joe?
Elijah does nothing for me. I mean, I'll sleep with him, but, you know, just to say I did it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Totally. Also, just a heads up, Heidi is a Virgo sun, Virgo rising, Aquarius moon. Had to let the people know.
Wow.
The Aquarius moon makes a lot of sense. She is not here. She is somewhere, but it is not here.
I like her as the antenna that is connecting. That is how Spencer is.
She's the channel
source. She is the antenna.
That's exactly right. Oh my gosh.
So who are we?
That's gorgeous.
Again? Billy Joe, Lauren, Elijah. Got it. Okay.
You know. I don't feel strongly about Billy Joe or Elijah in a way, either sexually or like, what am I marrying into? Although I do feel like Elijah, I do like this Hollywood story, but I feel like I could be a better partner to Elijah than to Billy Joe. Right. I feel like Billy Joe, I'm gonna be like, I feel like we would have a good time and respect and all of this, but I do feel like there is something. I mean, I've done the Aquarius punk thing, okay? And not a sense of humor.
Actually, no. Literally.
It's a one-way ticket to a personal hell.
Yes. So I am like, you know. I do think Elijah has done more like comedy stuff now and all of these things too. Now that I'm thinking,
love him in Yellow Jackets, recent Yellow Jackets appearance.
So yes. Good.
And
so good.
Yeah. I just think,
does this do anything for you?
That actually does so much more for me. This is way better than it started.
Yeah.
We have a picture of him on a live scooter with a cig.
Well, first of all, he's supporting the environment, not looking cool. He's supporting the environment. He's supporting the environment. He does look super satisfied with himself. His grip is strong. He's present. He's not even listening to music. And he's in transit.
Both feet firmly planted
next to each other on the scooter. It's very, very suspect.
Not even one in front of the other.
I'm like, that's fixed energy to me right there.
For me is like maybe a kill.
Where I'm like, okay. Moving everyone's needles in different directions.
Yeah. No, all right. Marry Elijah, fuck Billy Joe, kill Lauren.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to marry Elijah. I'm not attracted to Billy Joe, which makes me maybe want to. I know this is a game. Just a reminder, I'm not condoning this behavior. No, I only want to fuck Lauren Conrad just so we can have that post cigarette and like, so tell me everything about the Hills. Because she doesn't talk. That's the other part. So like, that's now it's like, the agreement being we're gonna have like an afternoon of like dish,
right?
And I know that she won't, and this is like in a world she would not want to do this, but this is a fantasy and a game, and this is how
the thing is, there's a chance that she's a Republican because she is gay, and the other thing is
she might like clam dive efficiently and effectively like that. Okay, I was gonna say something maybe horrible, so I will be like, I'm that closeted. Like that horny, repressed.
I think it's possible. She's giving nothing but repressed. Also, you know, there is a theory, because Audrina has a podcast with Brody,
right?
And she has said that the reason why Spencer and Lauren could never really stand each other is because they fucked.
Wow,
I believe that.
They probably three-wayed, and then it got messy.
It went weird. It went weird.
Also, yes, I watched all Laguna Beach, all The Hills, and all The City during August 2020. that calendar.
Absolutely.
Leo season month was just the hills nonstop. So
all of them are back on. Mm-hmm. All of them are back on all streaming services. So you can get right back on it.
Yes. You know, and we got to get the crew on. Did everyone answer?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Some other notable Aquarius, Sun, Cap, Rising. Yes, we have, these are all going to be so the opposite vibe of what was just shared. We have Rosa Parks, Leslie Nielsen, Cristiano Ronaldo, Paul Newman, Clark Gable, Brandon Lee, Tom Selleck, and John Belushi.
Wow.
Okay. The whole classics. Crew. Yeah.
Cristiano Ronaldo, he is also married to an Aquarius Sun. He's married to an Aquarius Sun, Taurus Moon. His wife is also an Aquarius Sun, Taurus Moon. And I only know this because I looked it up after they had their little show. Have you ever watched her show? I think it's called Hello Georgina.
Who's his wife?
She has a Netflix special. It's called Something Georgina.
Okay.
Something Georgina.
Okay. Wife Georgina Rodriguez. Here we go. Yeah. She is for sure an Aquarius. Okay. I love all these random celebrity commentary that you're throwing in as we've gone through. Most of the time people that when we play Mary Fuck Kill, they're like, I don't know who this person is. So I'm like, just amazing. Known everyone and
facts. Yes. Yeah.
No, literally, this is you guys. This is my neurodivergence kicking in. This is the only thing that I know anything about.
I don't think that's true.
But I'll laugh with you.
Yeah,
you're in a safe
Wikipedia phase.
You're in a safe space. It. This is saying she's a Leo moon, but you know these charts can be.
Wait, what's her rising?
I don't know if we know. This one says Scorpio with a Leo moon. But again, a lot of the times we've had people be like, you used the wrong chart for this person. And it's actually this.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a commie
spot. I love.
It's like, it's fine.
We so seldom see an Aquarius for Aquarius pair. And I really, really love that because they're both just so hot and so interesting. And Aquarians also aren't known for that either. Like they're always kind of like a, you know what I'm saying? Like a hometown hero character. It's like, oh yeah, I do love them, but I kind of didn't know their name, but they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. But they are everywhere in everybody's hometown hero.
Yeah. And they're holding each other's cups.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
Hot cups.
Love it. Really love. Really love hot cups.
Well, Kendra, I mean, iconic. We could do this forever and we'll have to do this again because I feel like we've only just scratched the surface. And I also feel like we all need our cups filled. And this was such an affirming, wonderful experience. Yes. The Realist Oracle deck, of course, where can people find it?
Anywhere you buy books, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, the Bezos website, preferably bookshop.org. You can also catch me on my newsletter, Come Home, KendraAustin.substack.com. You can catch me at Eldest Daughter Podcast, available on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and YouTube if you want to see me in HD. what else am I doing?
And guys, you do. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, the thing is, they can just move from this video to mine.
Yeah.
They'll already be on YouTube.
Yeah. Yes. So bring us all together.
Yes, they're already on YouTube. And if you are in New York and would love to make a new friend or a few, feel free to tap on into Third Cup, my community collective on Instagram, and follow our Geneva or our newsletter so that you get updates on events.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. This was wonderful.
A pleasure and a delight.
Thank you all for listening. We are so glad you've joined us. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to What's Your Sign? Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love this podcast, please support us. Check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/whatsyoursignpodcast. The link to support us is in the show notes.
Follow us on Instagram at What's Your Sign Podcast, on Twitter at @whatsyrsign_pod, and TikTok at What's Your Sign Podcast. For business opportunities, advertising, or commission readings, email us whatsyoursignpodcast@gmail.com.
WIS is produced by Julia Loken, Stevie Anderson, and Lisa Chenu. Artwork by Alexa Vicious and theme song by Honor Nezzo.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.